Good afternoon. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin with me, David Shombe. It's that time of the afternoon that we look at the news bulletin, what is happening in Namibia, what is happening in the region of SADC, what is happening in the continent, and also what is happening in the international affairs. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, that is Eagle FM Namibia. We are greeting policymakers, economists, politicians, environmental enthusiasts, and everybody who is interested in Namibia bread and butter issue, who is interested in conversation that will be able to take us somewhere, especially when it comes to making of data-driven decision that will change the lives of the Namibian people, and also to look at where we need to go, tracking of progress, and also to see where are we going in terms of implementation of policies and also implementation of projects that are underway. Today, we are going to look at two key things, and at the center of that is parliamentary diplomacy. We are looking at what is currently happening, especially in South Africa, where you have delegations from all African countries, especially when it comes to legislature. And we also were able to see, especially from the Namibian side, where we see that the deputy speaker of Namibian parliament, that is Philippos Katamelo, who serves as a chairperson of the Committee of Cooperation, International Relations and Conflict Resolution at Pan-African Parliament, gave his speech, particularly looking at what Africa needs to do, particularly ending of conflict, protection of human rights, and also making sure that the legislature partake in parliamentary diplomacy and also solving dispute in the continent of Africa. Looking at that today, we'll be joined by our two guests, particularly those who have interest in African development and also African political and also policy making, particularly looking at parliamentary diplomacy. We are going to be joined by Ben Uwanga, who is a developmental consultant and a researcher. We are also going to be joined by Yambo Gabriel, who is a public policy analyst, especially to look at the first ordinary session of the 7th legislature of Pan-African Parliament, especially looking at where we want to get into, and also to say what is the contribution of Pan-African Parliament, especially when it comes to development and also to the change of the Namibian people. Is it just a trip to a continental discussion, or is it really something that legislature must be able to learn, especially when it comes to making of critical decisions? The second part, we'll look at what happened yesterday, particularly looking at Namibia Economy Guide, where we'll be able to see that independent economist, that is Robin Chevron, has given a perspective, particularly looking at 2025-2026 Namibian economy, giving a perspective. We are going to look at part of that, especially looking at Namibia and its trading partner. The second part, we will look at what is happening in the continent of Africa, especially Algeria, for the first time electing the first women speaker of parliament, and the contribution of gender equality, especially to continental legislature. From there, we'll look at international affairs, what is happening in the global world, and we'll be able to give you international foreign exchange rate. Stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 1400 hours.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o speciala ngetashake ngeshe faa omarudi. Dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nukumona oijamoiri nawa, ninge kwa tafanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatu imwe mbali heali, nola natu, heali mbali no heali, ile kumberewa, nora etatu natu, mbali o etatu matatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye. The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
its Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshuala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu oma filane Eagle FM. The eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with the Reda News Bulletin. As I indicated, today we are looking at parliamentary diplomacy, the contribution of legislation, particularly at the continental level, to the people of Namibia. Is it necessary? What is the importance of continental diplomacy? What are some of the key things that Namibia can be able to learn, especially when it comes to parliamentary diplomacy? We are in communication with Mr. Ben Wanga, who has much interest, especially when it comes to African affairs, when it comes to issues of trade, and most importantly, Pan-Africanism. Mr. Ben Wanga, good afternoon, and welcome to the Reda News Bulletin.
Good afternoon, David Stone. Thank you for the platform.
Yes, we are very happy to have you, especially at this occasion. Let us look at the first session of continental legislation, especially the seventh continental legislation, when you look at Pan-African Parliament and also the necessity of it. For somebody who is out there, especially looking at parliamentarians taking flights and go to South Africa and or anywhere in the continent, depends on where the session is. Just to put it out there, what is the necessity of Pan-African Parliament, and what is the main objective of Pan-African Parliament before we go there?
Well, we have the seventh legislature of the Pan-African Parliament taking in South Africa.
Yeah.
Under the theme reform, effectiveness, partnership and delivery.
Yeah.
Now the objective for you to have a Pan-African Parliament is for you to interact as policymakers.
Yeah.
on the African continent to discuss legislations, to discuss policies, to discuss vision, and to discuss the way forward for Africa, the Africa that we want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a gathering of Pan-African parliamentarians,
yeah,
whose basic vision is to promote good governance, democracy, peace, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now looking at, for example, from yesterday, we have seen the speech that was given by the chairperson of International Relation Conflict Resolution, especially our Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Philippus Katamelo, looking at conflict and other things. Now to look at the Pan-African Parliament, where it it's happening right now, is there anything tangible, or is there anything that you can really see that these are the immediate impact of Pan-African Parliament, or is just a gathering, and also implementation will be seen when people come home? But is there really something that we can really see from where we are standing, that somebody attend Pan-African Parliament, these are the new things in terms of legislature?
Well, Pan-African Parliament is important. One should not despise a journey that has just begun.
Yeah.
Some say do not despise the time of small beginnings.
Yeah.
In our context, Pan-Africanism and the Pan-African Parliament is, and as I said, the theme is reform, effectiveness, partnership, and delivery. And the focus point will be on discussing reforms on Africa, in Africa, integration and trade, peace and dialogue, governance, and AFTA and diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
So far, parliamentarians have met over so many times.
Yeah.
And something is tangible, we have AFTA.
Mm-hmm.
Something is tangible because we have the interventions in the DRC.
Yeah.
Something is tangible because we have a position on unelected, undemocratic regimes.
Mm-hmm.
Something is tangible because there are pronouncements on the issue of xenophobia and immigration.
Mm-hmm.
What ought to be done is for us to ensure, when we are at the Pan-African Parliament, we have to ensure that that cooperation, technical cooperation, that peace building mechanisms, that the validation of the Africa peer review mechanism is enforced. So far we have made progress because Africans are discussing Africa under the Africa we want.
Mm-hmm.
The Africa we want talks about peace and security. The Africa we want speaks about eliminating diseases, investing in healthcare. The Africa we want speaks about good governance and democratic rule-based systems.
Mm-hmm.
That ought to be implemented in Africa.
Yeah. Now let us look at some of the immediate things that happen. We see the transformation of Parliament. You look at Southern Africa. You see, don't want to go far. You look at South Africa, for example, for the first time since 1994, they have a coalition parliament. It's a push and pull, and there's an aspect of accountability. Maybe in that aspect, are you saying there are some understanding on how parliament is operating, especially in terms of holding people accountable? And I also want you to touch on Namibia to say, Are we also going to learn new tactics, new strategies on how to move on with passing of laws, especially in the time where nobody has really numbers to pass laws as an individual party within a legislation house?
Yes, in South Africa you have a coalition government.
Mm.
This is because voters have the democratic right to choose their representative. There was no outward majority. So in terms of consensus, the ANC convened a coalition government.
Yeah.
The coalition government is based on consensus.
Yeah.
It's based on securing and validating the strategic intentions and vision of government, of the people of South Africa, to work in synergy. Even if you disagree.
Yeah.
Even if you are not from the same political party, you can agree to disagree, and that is the philosophy behind coalition government. You put in people from other political entities in your cabinet so that you can secure their votes on important legislation. Namibia can learn from South Africa that even if we differ, because at the moment no legislations were passed in our parliament. Instead of differing on where to put a comma, where to put a question mark, we should have consensus on the principles, the objectives, the goals, the impact, the expected deliverables. We should agree based on the interests of the people, the expected benefits for the people of Namibia. Yeah, if a legislation is not satisfying a particular party, that particular party has the right to debate, to propose amendments, to propose modification, to propose synthesization, to propose contextualization. So we can learn that from South Africa.
Yeah, and now you know, looking at the agenda of Pan-African Parliament, there is a lot of things on the agenda. You look at the issues, you speak about the issues of Ebola, for example, you speak about the issues of conflict, and one of the things I want to get it from you. You have researched more on African affairs, is the issue of some people are calling it the tyranny of numbers, using parliamentary majority or using numbers to pass an agenda that you want to maintain political power. We have seen what happened, for example, in Zimbabwe, to say if numbers are on your side, you can extend power, for example. Is that really part of the discussion in terms of Parliament holding itself accountable, or we just need to wait for other aspect? Is it part of the discussion, maybe, to say how do we oversee more than Parliament?
You are right. The tyranny of power is something that I also will argue against, because you cannot use numbers to push your agenda, because your agenda might be based on self-interest, and not national interest, and not on the immediate need for you to address relevant challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So in Zimbabwe, Parliament endorsed Emmerson Mnangagwa to sit until 2030.
Yeah.
They have given him 7 years.
Mm.
You cannot override institutions because of an individual. If it is 5 years, then it should be 5 years for everyone. Emmerson Mnangagwa is not special. He is not above the law. So institutions are supposed to be respected. Laws are supposed to be respected. We need to promote rule-based systems. We need to promote good government.
Let us look at the development and also the modern parliament. Let us look at the good things. Post-colonial Africa, you see that there have been a bit of a transformation. Apart from women or 50-50, we see most of the women, they occupy position, particularly at the parliamentary level. You also see the aspect of women become speakers. Namibia, for the first time, South Africa, they've been doing it for a long time. And I'm just now looking at the current news. Algeria have a first woman speaker of parliament. What do you say about the transformation of African parliament, the issue of gender, and also the modern parliament, particularly looking at the positive side? What are other things that you can also add in that aspect?
There has been transformation, there has been progress as far as African politics is concerned, particularly after the Cold War, after 1989.
Yeah.
Because many countries embrace democracy, many countries embrace good governance, human rights, democratic elections, and gender parity is one of the progressive aspects that has been visible in the political landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So what I can say is that gender parity is good because you have a lot of intelligent African women.
Yeah.
African leaders, African scientists, African agriculturalists.
Just hold on, just for a commercial break, just hold on. Stay on the line.
Okay.
Get you saved today, where every penny counts. Get 1 liter of Clover Long Life Custard, just $29.99. 1 kilogram tub of Everyday Yogurt, just $39.99. Get 2 kilos of Numb Milk Omaere, just $52.99. Get 125 grams of Kluwer Coffee, just $20.99. 750 grams of Cremora Creamer, just $58.99. Discounted prices on Rhodes Tin Food and Polonies too. You save the low budget grocery store with good food costs less.
Yeah, we are on the line with Mr. Ben Uwanga. He's a researcher, particularly on issues of continental affairs in the African continent. And we're just looking at the transformation of parliament and also post-Cold War development in parliament, especially in relation to the ongoing session, 7th session on Pan-African Parliament. Mr. Ben?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, I was saying that women need to be empowered, youth need to be empowered. We need to focus on economic diplomacy. We need to focus on investment promotion in order to attract technology, in order to attract technological skills. We need to focus on entrepreneurship, education, health, water, electricity provision. We need to focus on rural development. These are aspects which were addressed in the past, but now they are also receiving priority by different governments.
Before I ask you the question related to what is in for Namibia, maybe to say is the intention of African Parliament, especially in the continent, really being realized, especially when you look at the issue of check and balance. You see, for example, in Senegal, the former prime minister, now with the Speaker of Parliament, and him and the president or the executive, to say they are not in good terms. And you see that is the issue of check and balance really going beyond the politics, or there is still a lot of things that need to be done, especially looking at the role of Parliament in Africa?
The issue of check and balance is addressed under the Constitution, because the Constitution speaks of the separation of powers.
Yeah.
You have the legislature, which is responsible for legislation. Mm. You have the judiciary, responsible for the interpretation of legislation. You have the executive, responsible for implementation. We should not place our egos. We should not place our self-interest above the Constitution. The Constitution is sacrosanct. It must be implemented to the letter. But as you are saying, most of the governments do not have a long tradition of democracy, because you also have the fourth essay, which is the media.
Yeah.
Which plays a vital role in terms of checks and balances, in terms of holding leaders accountable.
Yeah.
So now, as you mentioned, you spoke about Senegal.
Yeah.
The Constitution has to be observed.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature's responsibility is to design and to formulate laws.
Yeah.
Whereas the executive is accountable to the legislature in terms of whether they have achieved the necessary milestones outlined in terms of the programs and projects which the executive is overseeing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, just to look at the last part of it, to say what is in for Namibia. You see, our delegation, led by our deputy speaker of National Assembly, is in SA. They are discussing, and also to say, you went outside the country to represent Namibia. What is in for us? Or do we expect immediate results as citizens, or we expect to see that through the works of Namibian Parliament? How do we measure the productivity of participating at the continental diplomacy?
Continental parliamentary diplomacy is necessary because we address issues which affect us as a country vis-a-vis their relation to the interest of Namibia in Africa and the relation of Namibia with neighboring countries on the continent. Namibia is a beacon of democracy.
Yeah.
Our presence in the Pan-African Parliament is to communicate Namibia's position with regard to what is happening on the continent. We communicate peace because Namibia is peaceful.
Yeah.
We communicate trade because our Namibia wants to trade. We have a trade interest and we want to participate in AFTA. We want to change policies. Therefore, we would speak about disease control when it comes to trade. We would speak about peace and security. We will speak about partnerships with within the AU, within the politics of international cooperation.
Yeah.
We speak about immigration and also on how we can address xenophobia. So Namibia is not isolated. Namibia is part of Africa. We are part of SADC. We are part of AFTA. We are part of the AU. There are common issues of common interest that Namibia addresses during these parliamentary conventions.
Yes, Mr. Ben Owanga, thank you for joining us. Thank you for that contribution.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Okay, have a lovely day.
All right, you too.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that is Ben Owanga. He's a researcher on African affairs, especially looking at issues of trade, economics, and also diplomacy. We are speaking about parliamentary diplomacy. In a short period of time, we'll be in contact with Gabriel Yambo just to look at the context of to say what is in for us, because there is a very important question that we should ask now to say, how do we measure progress, and also the contribution of this continent legislature engagement, especially where the continent representative, which is representative of the people actually in South Africa, and also to discuss the future of the continent, and also to look at what is in for Namibia, especially an ordinary Namibian. So stay tuned. We are coming back shortly.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwali. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune uteo otukwetira o special Shalangeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM VI.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngele wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune uteo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM VI.
Yeah, we are moving forward with On the Radar News Bulletin. Today we are unpacking parliamentary diplomacy, particularly looking at the seventh session of Pan-African Parliament, the first engagement 2026, where Namibia is represented by a delegation also of our lawmakers from various political parties, led by the Deputy Speaker, and also to see what is the contribution of Pan-African Parliament, especially when it comes to changes and also when it comes to Namibian people, to say, is it necessary? To what extent? What are we learning new? And also, how did Parliament change so far post-colonial Africa? We are joined on the line by Gabriel Yambo, especially to look at this issue and add to the contribution. Gabriel Yambo, good afternoon, and welcome to On the Radar.
Good afternoon, David, and fellow listener of EQFL. It's a pleasure to hear me again.
Yes, let us look at the continental parliament for how it has started from where you are standing as a scholar. How did it transform Africa? Does it have any value? And also, how do you measure the contribution of Pan-African Parliament, especially since its inception?
We should really not take the Pan-African Parliament as a mere continental gathering.
Yeah.
It's really crucial for us, especially Africans, that we are now facing turbulent times, and even surprised that the gathering is taking place in South Africa after the turmoil that has been happening for the past months. But really, the aim and the objective of Pan-African Parliament is to bring in African countries together and Caucasus, and organize how they can improve the life of African people. How can they ensure peace? How can they contribute to development? How can they make sure that our countries and our parliaments in specific countries, they are promoting democracy, so the Pan-African Parliament...
Just hold on there for a commercial break, just on the line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25 Namibian. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99 Namibian. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99 Namibian. Get 750 mL Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99 Namibian. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99 Namibian. You Save. Where else?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Yeah, we are moving forward with On the Radar News Bulletin. We are talking about Pan-African Parliament. I'm joined by public policy analyst, that is Gabriel Yambo, to look into that. Gabriel?
Yes, sir.
You continue?
So the Pan-African Parliament is really its root in the Organization of African Unity, which was established by our forefathers, the Kwame Nkrumah, the Kenneth Kaunda, and the African Pan-African leader that we had at independence.
Now let us look at some of the things that African Parliament have been doing. We see that although there is transformation, we can praise issues of gender equality. We see we have a lot of speakers who are women, and we also see issues of gender balance. That one we can give it to Pan-African Parliament, and also other aspect of continental diplomacy. Now let us look at things that have been raised, especially in the lawmaking. From where you are standing, did Africa improve when it comes to the check and balance between executive, especially between executive and parliament. Then you can also add a little bit of, and you can also end the judiciary. I'm asking this question because there have been issues such as what happened in Zimbabwe to say people are using the advantage of numbers to pass their political agenda. You look at the aspect of Senegal, for example, political battle enter even the legislature where people want to sort each other out through institution of the state where the former prime minister and the president, one is sitting at the executive, one is heading a parliament. Yeah. What is your view into those issues, and how do you think they should be addressed moving forward at the continental level?
The tricky part is that the Pan-African Parliament cannot enforce. It's up to the member states to say, okay, when it comes to democracy, we are going to implement this in our own country. But when you look at issues like Zimbabwe and Senegal, for example, Zimbabwe, what's happening, it's unconstitutional. But the Pan-African Parliament, the African Union, they cannot do anything. They cannot do anything. For me, I'm really impressed by Namibia. I looked at the list of delegates who are sent to this to Midland to attend this forum. I'm very impressed because they even include opposition politicians. So I'm seeing IPC parliamentarian on the list. I'm like, okay, this is, you know, it's not just a SWAPO list. It's a diverse. Three people who were voted by Namibian people, which shows that Namibia is democracy is really maturing. But the point is, the African Parliament cannot do anything apart from individual countries. They cannot intervene in Senegal. They cannot tell the president of Zimbabwe that no, you cannot. You have to be elected by the people, not by the parliament.
Now let us look at two issues. Africa has a lot of problems. I don't know where to start. Is it debts? Is it exploitation of minerals? But let us look at issues of xenophobia, and also issues of let's look at the issues of xenophobia, and also issues that are related to migration. Do you think this is the right time to address that issue? Do you think it's a right opportunity for the continental parliament to put that issue at rest? Because we see that countries are not talking to each other. Cyril Ramaphosa was indicated to, at some point he was not allowed to enter Ghana. But you can see that tension has started due to that aspect. Do you think that is the right time, especially when it's happening in Africa? I mean, in South Africa.
I listened to Ramaphosa opening of the African Parliament, and then he argued that you know member states must you know influence policies that promote cooperation. You know, recommend legislative reform, prioritize national development. I think we are talking from the background of the xenophobia that is taking place in South Africa. Say that your people are running to South Africa because there is no development in your countries and stuff like that. But we are really at a crossroads. It's a very difficult situation, and I thought Ghana and Nigeria will not send participants to attend the opening of the Pan African Parliament, but I was happy to see that they are also part of the delegates. It's quite tricky. We are facing problem, and now I'm looking at the fall over of xenophobia when all the African nationals were chased out. Now you have farms that they don't have workers. You know, and this threat threatens not only in Africa, but also we are also getting some of our goods from South Africa. So we are really at the crossroads, and I hope.
Yeah. Now let's last question due to time. Let's see, what is that you want Namibian delegation to come with, that they can come and implement in Namibian Parliament? What do you think they should learn? Because there are always parliament in Africa where you have a good example. What do you think that they should learn, especially that of which will accelerate policy making? Yesterday I was attending Namibian economic guide, where you see that we did not pass laws actually in our parliament. What are some of the things that you really think we should learn, especially from this continental gathering?
Yeah, I'm even thankful that they are, or even opposition parties, they went.
Yeah.
So when they come back, you know, they must come back and pass law, you know, which creates economic opportunities, you know, for us ordinary Namibians, you know, stronger laws that, you know, that promote good governance. You know, we have the youth, the issue of youth unemployment and the education.
Yeah.
They must really come back and say, okay, what at the continental level, people are doing this and this and this, so as Namibia, we can, you know, benefit if we do this by passing the law, not hold on 2-3 years without passing a law. What is that?
Indeed.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. Gabriel Yambo, thank you for your contribution, and also thank you for your analysis.
Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, that is public policy analyst Gabriel Yambo, to look at the context of parliamentary diplomacy, especially looking at the ongoing seventh session of Pan-African Parliament. To move forward, yesterday, independent economist, that is Robin Chevron, presented the Namibian Economic Guide, and he gave a presentation that is indicating where Namibia is standing, especially from legislation, domestic economic development, Namibia and the trade, Namibia and its trading partner. And let us look at part of this presentation, especially looking at Namibia and trade.
FIB, I'll come back to that in a bit. Okay, that's my view of the major events. Okay. Take a break, please. I'm just getting started. Okay, but this is going to please you, and it's going to please you, Marta, as well. Review of policy environment. This is what I said I'd do, and that really won't take me very long, because there's been virtually no change. Let me show you this chart. This is the number of acts passed by Parliament since independence, and I've shaded them slightly differently under different presidential terms, yeah. And you can see when I arrived in the country in the 1990s, we were passing legislation like there was no tomorrow. I wasn't involved in it, but the Parliament was doing its job. That then came down a little bit under President Pahamba and stayed pretty much the same under President Geingob. But you see the last bar there, can you see that? That's what we managed to do by the end of 2025. We passed two pieces of legislation, the budget and the mid-year budget review. That's a little bit disturbing, but linked to that is this whole business of, you know, I am tired of talking about it, which is why I didn't go into it today again, because I've gone into it every year when I give this presentation. Things like the Foreign Investment Act, things like the Empowerment Act, things like the Minerals Act, things like the Special Economic Zone Act, things like the Land Act, all these things are missing in action. How do you create an investment environment if the investors don't know what the rules of the game are? You can't. As an economist, we're obsessed with policy. It's policy that makes a difference between a successful country and an unsuccessful country. It's not whether you've got oil underground or whether you've got lots of gold. It's policy that counts. Singapore is a prime example. You know, get policy right and your economy can rocket. We're at this crossroads. I said fork in the road 2023. So we're still at this fork in the road. We can't really decide which way to turn, and our legislation is just not in place. Now, quite why that is so, I'd like to hear your views. But it seems to me a great shame. We've got plenty of investment opportunities in this country, plenty, but the rules of the game are not clear. So again, my friend Leon would say, you may be interested in economics, may not be interested in economics, but in economics is interested in you. Until we get the policy framework in place, we're not going to get this investment. Yeah? I'll be coming back to that theme again. Okay, deep breath. I'll be very quick. I have been asked tonight to look at the issue of trade. This is based on some work I did for the EU earlier this year on who are Namibia's main trading partners and what impact does all this trade have with the rest of the world. So I'm going to whiz through some of these slides very quickly because I can see some eyes closing here, even though trade is a very, very interesting issue. So let me kick off very quickly. I'm going to do it in five charts. Namibia-EU trade, but it's not just the EU, really. The EU is a major trading partner, but it isn't the only part of the story. So what I'm going to do is just quickly go through what the European Union is, the data, our exports, employment creation, and our trade balance, and some conclusions there just on trade. Yeah. So the first one, you all know that the European Union is now 27 countries. One country left a few years ago. Can't think offhand which one it was, but let me gloss over that. Norway and Switzerland are not members of the EU, but they have special relationships with the EU, as does the UK, actually. Trades as a single block. This is the key point, yeah? Yes, the EU consists of 27 different member states, but on trade issues, it trades as if it were a single country. It has a common external tariff. It has common internal market. It has a single market. No other grouping of countries in the world has this. So I think it makes a lot to consider the EU like a single country. Yeah, it is very, very unusual in that sense. And the European Commission in Brussels is charged with trade policy. So Germany doesn't run its own trade policy. France doesn't run its own trade policy. Trade policy is run from Brussels as an EU-wide policy. Important to understand that. And that's why the EU approached me to say, Robin, if we look at it in that perspective, how does trade look for Namibia? So instead of looking at Belgium and Germany and France, what if we look at the EU overall? Okay, so that's essentially what I did. Data, I won't go into data. I can see people aren't that interested, but I got very detailed data from my friends at the Namibia Statistics Agency, and I have to thank them for being so helpful in this. So these are Namibian numbers I used to look at the years 2024 and 2025. I'll focus on 2025. This is all standard international trade classifications, so it wasn't Namibia's own version of trade statistics. We follow international best practice.
Efiloshisho otali kulandula kona ave wayuka ekwashilipale kolo marwendo paiwano kupitila mo NHB watukwatele komesho kwashilipale kolo afika mafio pedola emiliona omlongo da Namibia moshilio shetukeshe kuyanja omakwafo unamiti enashane filoshisho lo paulumo mumbu kwa voveli ponjeo shilongo shijo shitopo rwasho ijo yetu tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe layash opo umone ya kulo lo polis mwule ominute disyonailela lishangifako nhp.com.na omanga ino ya morwendo do ponjeo shilongo e mangono malandula fano ododino kulandurwa NHP rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Statistics, we follow international best practice. And then let me show you the first chart. Now, you probably won't be able to read all the little words in those charts, but I think you'll agree you can recognize there are some big boxes in that chart. So that blue box, that first big blue box, is our uranium exports. These are our total exports to the rest of the world. The gold is the next box. Fish products is the next box. And then diamonds is that yellow box. And then all the other products we export to the rest of the world are those other boxes here. Basically, in 2025, if you add uranium, gold, fish, and diamonds together, that accounts for 80% by value of everything we export to the rest of the world, yeah?
That was Robin Chebron, independent economist, looking at Namibian economy and also comparing Namibia and also its trading partners, especially looking at Namibia, EU trade, Namibia, China trade, Namibia, and also SACU, particularly looking at South Africa. But what is indicated is that in terms of legislation, there must be acceleration in terms of legislation that are making it very conducive for Namibia to partake in trade and also to benefit the people of Namibia. That will bring us to the end of our On the Radar News Bulletin. For me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. I will leave you in the good hands of Benyambeko Jonas from Ondangwa to look at Ongundana Dingi. Bye-bye and see you around.